Thank you for the organizers to give me the opportunity to share our results. This result is actually published recently, so I can just present the results from the paper. So, most of you will know that the soybean, the cultivated soybean is domesticated from wild soybean and land races. That's a lot of them are from like in China and some other areas in that close to China. The elite cultivars nowadays in the US can only trace back to a small subset of obsessions. Like here shows that like only 80 or so from small areas in northeastern China, and about 86% of those can be cultivated. Only 17 of those 80 land races. So in the crop improvement process, usually we only select the ones that with our target traits. So in during those selection procedures, they can result in substrate that with alleles that are good for your target traits. They can accumulate in those in the elite lines. So based on this, we should be able to detect selection signatures from those that came from the original land races or white germ pattern resources. So our objectives were to try to test the extent of genetic diversity, to what extent of genetic diversity has been affected by the selection. And then we also try to determine the genomic regions that have been affected during this improvement process, and whether our candidate genes are truly associated with the selection. So we also want to determine the genetic architectures of the complex traits. So the materials methods we use, we have two panels of lines. We have 342 land races from multiple genomic regions, and we also have over 1,000 improved lines that's released in the U.S. from 2007 and 2012. Then we, through phenotyping, we grow those in Michigan, the seven counties in Michigan, and then we during the summer of 2007-2012. And then the traits that we tested, we have the yield traits, hydrologin, maturity, seed coat color, and the protein. Those are traits that are under selection. And we also test those other two traits that are not under selection. That's just, we don't care about it, the cubensis color, flower color. So that will not have much impact on the agronomic performance of the lines. So this picture just showing the seven counties that we test those lines, and also on the left side are the major production areas in Michigan. So our testing site is within the major production areas in the state. So this is just showing the diagram of the experimental design. So we have the two panels there, so land races and improved lines. So we do both of them in the field experiment to get the phenotype data. And then we've got those nine traits that I just mentioned. And also we genotype these two panels with 50K SNP chip. That's the same chip that we all know that's in the soy base. And then we use the chip data to get the haplomap genomic data. And then we use that data also to estimate the population structure of those two populations plus the kinship. So we use those parameters that we can use to put in the GWAS, general association mapping. And also we can use that SNP data, 52K SNP data, to determine what are the selective signature from the original land races. So then we use the GWAS results and the SNP, the selective sweep, and trying to kind of validate whether the selective signature is associated with the significant small cross that we found in the association mapping. So, kind of validating the results from there. Lastly, the SNP chip process and analysis that is done in our lab. So, we have we genotyped all those about 1,500 lines with those 50K chip. So this is just showing the coverage of the 52K SNP, that's only 20 chromosomes of soybean. You can see the darker the color, the more markers in that plot. So you have some gaps within the chromosomes, but for most of the areas in the soybean genome, it's well covered with the 52K markers. So for the analysis, we use a principal component analysis and the labor joining trees for the population structure analysis. And also for kinship analysis, we use TESOL software. And we use the cross-population composite likelihood ratio test, it's XPCLR test, to perform the selection, to identify the selection signature. So that's the original paper described about that is from Chen et al. From the 2010 paper. And then for the GWAS, we tried two models, just a simple model without the population structure and the kinship. But we found that the mixed model always doing a better job. So the results we in our paper and also here, we just used the mixed model analysis from the GWAS study. So here's the results for the phenotypic distribution for those nine traits. That's the yield protein oil and the plant height maturity logic. And the two traits that's not under selection, the pupense color and the flower color. So those are the distributions for those nine traits. And this is the for population structure. So you can the divergence of the land races improvements we have in here. So if we put those two together, the improvements and the land races, put them together and then analyze it, and they can separate those two. So the improvements is the red color. And the land race is the blue color. And on the middle, frequency B is the minor allele frequency. You can see the land races have a lot more minor alleles compared to the improved lines. So the improved lines only kept about half of the diversity, allele diversity in the land races. And on the right side, and the C is the LD. Decay. So you can see the LD block is in the land race is smaller and decays faster than the improved line. That's expected. That's so here compare the minor frequency alleles like in land races and the improved lines in the table. So you can see the land races have higher minor frequencies. That's just what it's shown in the figure earlier. And the diversity also is higher in the land races in the improved lines. And the haplogroup block size in the improved lines and compared to the land races. See the point here. So the haplogroup size is in the then the rate is only about half of those in the improved lines, and then the ones highlighted in red. So that's also expected. And there, of the 20 chromosomes, you can see, if you look at the genetic diversity, there's clear trend that land races always have a higher diversity index than the improved lines. And decay rate as land races is always faster, the shorter block at the block than the improved lines. And on the right most column, you have the features of selection. That means the selection during improvement, you have variations of different chromosomes of different number of blocks selected during improvement. So chromosome number 4, for example, you have more segments of that chromosome have been kept from the selection during the improvement. So that means we may have some more beneficial alleles that we want in our modern varieties, so that we have more of those selected. So here, this is just looking at the subpopulation structure within the improved lines and the land races, the subpopulations. So in this, we have like six for the improved lines and 8 for the land races. And we found the improved lines, if you get a substructure, it's more or less related to maturity state somehow. So major factors that divide them into subgroups. And for the land races, the major component that divide them into subgroups is the geographic origin. So that's expected. And this is just showing the kinship among the lines within the land races and the improved lines. And you can see the red color be more related, the light, the blue color be less related. So you can see overall, they're not that much related to each other of those lines in there. Especially the land races, you don't see much of the red spot. Actually, the land races was selected based on the 52 markers. And that's Dr. Qi Jianzong. He got the data from all those USDA germplasm, and he selected these land races based on the distance among us to make sure none of them are really closely related. So he wants to have a good representation of the whole germplasm collection. So that's the land races that we use in this panel, this slide. So that's why you didn't see much correlation of kinship in there. So this is the GWAS results. We are showing some of the RRG1 come out here in this. That's because we have the SN data for those, and then it's easily that will come out. And we have some of those related to maturity, and some other traits, and the pubes color in there. So those are easily identified in the GWAS. And here we show the ones with this figure is kind of like a okay. So we have gene diversity here, and also have the selection, the selection signatures here, and then we have the QQ plot from the GWAS. So you can see the gene diversity here, land races, improved lines, diversity, and again showing that land races have much higher diversity than the improved lines. And for the selection signature of those, you have the some. This lines for selection signature, the higher the value, the more significance of the the fast filter selection, and then you have this is GWAS signals of this dot. This is a GWAS signal. So you can see some overlapping of the GWAS signals and the way with the selection signatures there. So this is for selection traits. So for those traits that are under selection, you have a very good overlapping of the selected signature and the GWAS signals. So that's good, right? They're validating each other. So that's for the traits under selection. And then for a trait that's not under selection, this is the selection signature, and those are GWAS signals. You don't see that overlapping. So the selection signature is very low end because it's not under selection. So we don't care about those traits. It's non-selection traits. But the GWAS signal is high because GWAS is just whether the gene in a certain location is associated with that trait. So you get very strong GWAS signals there, but they don't have selection signatures. So that means GWAS to validate those important traits that are under selection. So that's approved the concept there. So this is for another trait. The flower color here. It's for flower color. Again, it's a non-selected trace. You can see that overlapping of a GWAS signal and the selection signature there. So here, just showing the Manhattan plots of those six the important traits and the selections. Some of those I don't intend just show you the traits that we identified. The actually detailed results is in the publication, so you can look at those details in the publication. Here I just showing some of the number of beneficial, but that's the total percentage for phenotypic variations explained by the criteria identified. So so you can see selection signatures and its blue bar. So for silicate color, we can have those significant SNPs together, and they can explain over 70% phenotypic variations. And then a year, we can get over 30%. And we get the higher selection signature there. And for these two traits that's not under selection, we didn't see much of the selection signatures in there. So we have identified a total of 417 SNPs that are significantly associated with this trait. That's in the GWAS studies. And also in the selection signature, we identified a lot of signatures also. Some of these are co-localized with the selection signature and the GWAS result. So some of these are just a subset of the SNPs associated with the traits, so there's chromosome position, and then we have the also sometimes we have co-localized with earlier study of QTL mapping. So this also actually the QTL names in soy base. So you can see some of those are indeed co-localized with the QTLs identified in other earlier studies, just similar to what she just presented the bias theory. So in conclusion, we identified about 125 signatures from selections, and then we can use by means of GWAS, and we also confirm some of those traits, identify the criteria for the important traits, and they overlap, as I said, they overlap with the selection signature overlap with the GWAS results. And then, as I mentioned, that's the paper that we just come out this year, so that we get more detailed information in the paper. So that's my postdoc, Dr. Zixiang Wen, did the work, and my technician contributed most to the phenotyping, and the Dr. Kuiken and Qi Jianzong did the 32 marker selection of those land races, and also possibly provided the chip to us for us to use in our lab before anybody have access to it. So we really appreciate that. It's a great help for this study. And Michigan Soybean Promotion Committee is a major funding source for that for this research. Okay. Any questions? Population structure.
So you have shown the K value is 1.648.
Right. Substructure, yeah, subgroup. Right. Here's the principal component. And then for the land races, as I mentioned, the first principal component was the origin of those. Right.
Do you know the relationship of your land races to the actual progenitors of your lines and how that relationship would affect your identification of selection signature?
Based on the kinship analysis, there's not much much relationship with those. We don't know the pedigree relationship. But we just use the 3DK SNP chip data to do the kinship analysis. There's not much association, not much relationship. So that's what we can know based on that data only. So some of the land races, so in the introduction I said there's only 17 of those progenitors contribute to modern U.S. soybean varieties. So those 17, some of them are not in the pen of land races, but not all of them are in there. So some of them may have pedigree relationship there. So those 17, that are in that panel. I think that's probably addressed in the original paper that described by the methods of Zhen Qian and our 2010 paper. So they are in their paper, they prove, I think they, some of them prove that the approach they use is not just simply strict. It can be taken as truly due to selection. We use the blob, the best as the unbiased like best prediction. And we use blob results. We don't have data from multiple environments, so we use that estimate. Mean, hopefully, estimate mean for the phenotype. So that we can take care of the environment. Okay.
that. Right.
Yeah, and for increasing big linear models, for example, the how would you recall your linear factory that is numerically dynamic, right?
For the improved lines, a lot of them are just yellow because on the selection, only keep the yellow silicon color. That's easy. For those, we are trying to reduce the number of categories. If there are minor variations, that sometimes is more subjective. We're trying to use a dark light or something that give the next category. Yeah. The flower color, we just use white and purple. And that's maybe slight differences in purple. If we like purple, we don't care about that. We otherwise, it gets so complicated. So trying to, for those, just white is easy, and purple easy. And then you may have light purple, dark purple, but that don't really go to those so detailed categories. Yeah.